Texas. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Gonna be a short show tonight. We only have two shows to talk about. Jamie took ill suddenly, so it's just gonna be me and Karen tonight. I apologize if Karen is here already, because Block Talk Radio froze on me, so I just had to reboot it, and let's see how it's. Okay, she's not here yet, so at least it's working now. So we're going to talk about two episodes of American Horror Story, or as I joked with Karen the other day, American Boring Story, or whatever you want to call it. And the new show, Gifted, The Gifted, which I enjoyed quite a bit. And not just because I absolutely love Amy Acker. So, as soon as Karen gets here, we will get rocking and rolling. And there she is. Hello.
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
Good, good, good.
So, just you and me tonight, right? No Jamie.
Yep, just the two of us and two shows, so shouldn't be a very
long show. No. Okay. So,
first and foremost, welcome back from all your jet setting. We didn't do a show last week, so it's been 2 weeks since we've talked to you.
Oh. So. Yeah, I had a nice vacation last week. I've come back to work for 3 whole days, and I'm going away again on Thursday. I'm going to New Orleans for the weekend to a wedding. I'm going to a wedding, so. yeah, but then hopefully I'll settle down. Yep, hopefully I'll settle down. My friend is getting married, and her grandmother just turned 102, so she has to get married where the grandmother
is. Wow.
Yeah, can't make,
awesome.
You know, you have to go to old people, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
yeah,
pretty
so,
cool.
Yeah.
So
we have 2 weeks of... catching
AHS,
up.
Yes.
And
the funny thing is about AHS is because this most recent episode was a flashback, kind of showing us how the ball got rolling. So it's not a continuation of the week before, which I think kind of works in our favor in this aspect. But I'm going to start because there's just a couple things that I wanted to when I texted you about American Boring Story, it was because I had only seen up to the third episode. First of all, there's just so much ridiculousness, like just ludicrous thing. I mean, the other shows at least had that that science fiction, supernatural element to it. This is just straight up ridiculousness, and I think that's what's kind of jading me a little bit from it. But it's also like boring because I don't even care who's doing what. Now I'm thinking the shrink has to be involved in some way, shape, or form. Either he's the ringleader. Or Kai got to him also, because I had two patients of his that had been marked by Kai and his clowns. The couple that got killed at the beginning of the episode with the coffins, they were, the shrink
right.
patients.
Yep, right,
course,
yeah.
Allie. So either somebody has access to his files or he's involved. Every week I look at Colton Hayes, who plays the cop, and I keep looking at him thinking, wow, he seems really familiar, like everything about him, like his look, his demeanor, and it finally hit me in the one episode. He kind of has, right, like, I'm not used to seeing him with the grayish-looking hair. I mean, that's got to be some kind of dye or something, because he's not that old, and I just saw him recently he's been on Arrow on and off for a few seasons. So I keep looking at him, and it finally hit me. He looks like Dana Ashbrook.
He kind of does. Yeah, yeah.
And just the way he's carrying himself and everything, I was like, oh my god, I just finally got it.
He kind of does, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Ryan Murphy after that third episode is making me hate being a white person. Because he is just, I mean, Ryan, he's just, it's just, so, everything is just, it's so insane, and, you know, they're talking about, you know, just the entire show is just crazy. And you know, it's funny because I'm like, before they revealed it, I'm like, this cop, he's not acting like a cop. And that's part of the ridiculousness. Like it's okay, ma'am, because he was a person of interest, even though we had no evidence to go on that he could have killed that other person that worked for you. It's okay that you shot him because he's brown. You know, I mean, not exactly how
yeah.
we said it, but that's what was basically coming out. And I'm like,
yeah.
Whether it was self-defense or not, she still should be at least brought into the station in handcuffs while they sort the mess out. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
of course, he's in the cult, right? Which is why he's
well,
not
yeah,
being
then,
a cop.
Yeah.
Like, is he even a cop at all?
I wonder that,
I
too.
I mean, he must be a real cop. It's hard to say.
He's got to at least be. And the thing that scares me is that third episode, the more it went on, and then continuing to the fourth episode, as we see some of the pieces of the puzzle coming together, I'm thinking, oh, my God. This is like watching The Following. Everybody's involved.
Yeah,
So
in the third episode, I really was, you know, as it starts to – so in the third episode – is the third episode the one that ends with Allie shooting the guy from the restaurant?
No, that's the second episode.
What happens in the third episode? What happens in the third
episode?
I can't remember what happened in the third episode.
The third episode is when she goes to the neighbors and flips out on them, which actually, I got to say, when she does that and she tells them if they don't stay away from them, she'll kill them, I got to
yeah.
say, that is probably the most sane she has been the entire show, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's actually something a sane person would do that would be like, all right, I've had enough. Just, you know, cut the shit. You know? You say, or I'll kill you type of thing, but you don't ever actually mean it. It's one of those, you know? But that's probably, I feel like that's the most sane she's been the whole time. Because she seemed in control,
yeah.
actually. But anyway, you were saying.
I can't really remember what – seems so long ago I watched that third episode, except that I remember Allie's becoming more and more like – she's becoming more and more almost kind of like militant. So I remember that couple that gets locked in the coffins. I remember Allie going and yelling at the neighbors. And I remember that the psychiatrist makes a house call. Is that when the psychiatrist makes a house call? Was that also – I can't remember what went on.
Was that the episode before when he shows up and he knows about the gun? And then, yeah, no, that was
yeah,
previous
episode.
In this episode, Allie calls him for advice because she's going to go confront the people.
Oh, yeah, the people next
picketing
door.
Picketing outside.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, she's going to confront the picketers outside the restaurant.
And
the episode episode ends with the neighbor's wife has disappeared and there's blood all over the house. And he thinks that she, you know, he's accusing her of doing
it.
Right.
Well, they had been marked with a smiley and she had not warned
him.
Yeah.
Ivy's about to leave her because of the video with
Winter. With Winter in the bathtub, yeah. So I remember feeling like you did in the second episode, like, you know, while we had suspected that some of these people were in the cult, we suspected the next door neighbors were in the cult and some other people, you know, once I saw the cop, I felt the same way, like, oh God, wait a minute, anybody can be in the cult at any time and we don't know about it. And pretty much everyone in the town is in the cult, including the cops, the psychiatrist, like it started to seem a little, crazy. And this next episode, the fourth episode, which was like entirely like prequel flashback type thing, I kind of liked it. So I think that this show, I think it's very interesting what Ryan Murphy has to say about the political climate in our country right now. And a lot of things, and I found it interesting the way Kai, you know, they're showing how he really is like this charismatic, almost like a prototypical charismatic cult leader where he, we can talk about that some more. So I find all that kind of interesting about him as a cult leader, which we can talk about, and the political part of it. It is not interesting in that we've come to expect this sort of, this is the first season that's not got no supernatural element. And like, I was kind of watching all these previous seasons of the Supernatural element. And the fact that he can convince all the people to do this stuff is, you know, on the one hand, yeah, he's a very, this is how cult leaders operate. On the other hand, like convincing someone to saw off his own hand, is where we're getting to that like totally bonkers territory, right? Like I'm more inclined to believe that he could like use witchcraft to convince a person to do that. that was like pretty much to the extreme at the end, where he basically in really only like 2 minutes after meeting the guy has talked him into it. Like that's like mind control level. I could see how he, I don't know. I think Kai's kind of interesting. He's a much more interesting cult leader, I think, than that guy in The Following was. That guy in The Following was, I mean, it wasn't really a cult. He was just a serial killer who, like, developed this following. Well, he was a cult leader. But Kai is much more interesting. It's kind of interesting the way he, like, learns everybody's insecurities and preys on them and plays them, and how he's playing both sides of it. Like, to find out that Allie, you know, it appears Allie maybe is in the cult also. And she's got a totally different kind of weakness and insecurity to play upon than Gary or Harrison or, you know, I mean, it's not just like, you know, it's not just, it's not, so this is kind of an indictment of the way Trump rose to, I mean, Kai plays on fear to raise himself to power. And certainly I think Ryan Murphy is trying to say that whether you like Donald Trump or not, he played on the fear among certain voters and it caught on, mm-hmm. and that's how he rose to power, right? But you think of them all as like, you know, like Gary says in the episode, he's like, you think all of us Trump voters are wife-beating racists. But Kai has collected in his group a black woman, a white gay, like, yep. you know, like upper class woman, a gay guy with his beard wife. Like he's got a very wide range of people.
And that's
the common
thread.
Yeah.
Because when Kai is first introduced, you feel like he is totally going to be a complete racist, and he's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
You know?
He
belittles Ivy and Allie the first time we see when he interacts with them the first time. And now, come to find out, he's actually using it to recruit them.
In fact, I don't know if Kai has any, like, ideology of his own. I think he just wants to achieve power and play. I mean, did you notice how he changes his background story with each person he talks to? Like, he tells one person that he was in the Army, and he tells someone else that he was a child genius, and he tells someone else something else. And I don't know if he really, like, cares about anything except just, like his master plan to be propelled to power by just fanning everybody's fear and insecurity.
You know who kind of reminds me of? Like, telling everybody a different story to fit the situation. He reminds me of the Joker.
Like, huh.
He kind of has that type of charisma. I mean, the Joker is, you know, in Batman, is clearly a villain and everything, but the Joker's always had a certain type of charisma. And you know, and hearing you talk about it has kind of made me realize that Kai is kind of like, you know, has that same type of charisma with the changing of the backstory to fit his needs at the moment.
Hmm. Huh. That's interesting. I don't really, I think you probably know the Joker better than I do from just like reading more comics and stuff like that. But I see what you mean from like the movies, from, you know, I've seen him in a few movies or whatever. And I that's an interesting assessment. I kind of, I agree with that, I think. He's kind of, and, you know, he's equally frightening. I mean, Kai's a pretty scary Kai, like, so the part of this that's kind of bonkers and hard to believe is, like, the sheer number of murders happening in this town surrounding a very few characters and no, like, you know, no real consequences. I'm not sure if this is supposed to be just an inept police force and a different police force, Has Kai so fully, like, indoctrinated them that they also don't take action? Like, it's a little bit, like, for example, I was really surprised, like, I was a little bit surprised at the degree to which, like, Kai is really responsible for some of these. I mean, assuming that Kai is one of those clowns. So backing up, I was really surprised to see Emma Roberts get killed so fast.
Yeah.
Because she played Serena, right?
Yeah. I didn't even realize she was in this season until I saw her.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Emma Roberts.
And apparently she just has like a little cameo, almost bigger than a cameo, but I mean, she has been like pretty much, you know, almost the star of some previous seasons. So, I mean, we all know the real star is Sarah Paulson, but I was surprised to see Emma Roberts like not basically only be in one episode. But assuming that those three clowns who killed her are Kai's one of them, and maybe Harrison and Meadow are the other two. Hard to say who the other two killers are, but Kai, like, you know, kills her. Kai, you know, basically, I mean, he goads Harrison into killing that guy at the gym. Like, he participates in all these murders. He I was surprised to see him basically kill Serena in order to get what's her name? I can't remember her name. I want to say Bridget. That's not her. Beverly. To recruit Beverly into the cult.
Oh.
The newscaster. Her name is Beverly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Beverly Hope? Because I feel like Hope is...
Beverly Hope, yeah. Beverly Hope, I think.
Okay. Well, you're both right.
I think it's Beverly Hope. I was surprised to see him, like, take such... I guess I expected to see him be more a manipulator than an actor in some of these things. But I don't know. I like this episode also because so many things are coming clear now. Like all those clowns that Sarah Paulson hallucinated when she went into the grocery store in episode one. Well, it turns out she didn't. Gary's in on it, right? And
yep.
Gary's the store manager.
Yeah, I thought the same
and
thing.
He probably really, he let the clowns in. And then he's like, no, officers, there were no clowns here. And I guess Allie is letting the clowns in the house to Ivy's letting the clowns in to terrorize Allie, I guess. Because how do they get in there in 5 seconds, right?
Yeah.
It's not winter. It's a little unclear to me. So it was so easy for Kai to recruit these people into his cult. It happens, like, pretty quickly. Why all this effort to torment and terrorize Sarah Paulson? Allie.
Well, that's
like, what,
an excellent question.
Like, what is it about her that she, of all people, that they're trying to drive her insane?
Yeah, I don't, and that's the thing. That's really, for the most part, my only interest still is to what end is this, what, you know, what is the purpose behind it? Because for the most part, a lot of it, it's not really that intriguing. I'm not like, all that curious about anything. I haven't been, oh my God, tell me what happens next. It's more just curiosity of why.
Right, because Kai's stated goal is to run for city council, and Beverly's like, you're going to, like, rule the world from city council? Like, good luck, white boy. And he's like, no, city council and then state senate and then this, and then, and he's got this, like, master plan to eventually rule the world, I guess, but obviously we're not going to see that in one season of television. Like, he must have another,
right.
That's his stated goal, but he must have another goal. Like, does he just thrive on this kind of chaos and manipulation? Does he really have something against, like, Allie? She's just so, one thing I enjoyed about this episode was there was very little Allie. She's a very annoying character.
Yeah,
right?
And that's all she does every episode. It just gets crazier and crazier and... And like I said, the third episode, that's when she threatened the neighbors. That is the most sane I feel I've ever seen her. It was like she finally took control for that moment. And
oh, that was
Ivy,
the guinea
like,
pig.
You know,
that was the guinea pig episode, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that was, you know, a legit reaction maybe. I just don't know why, like, is that, like, does Ivy really just want to punish her for voting for Jill Stein, because that's stupid, right? That's not, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but if she hadn't voted for Jill Stein, then maybe her vote could have put Hillary over the top.
Yeah. I mean, obviously she's doing it because she's an annoying person, and her voting for Jill Stein is, like, more indicative of other kinds of problems in their relationship, right? And different values.
Yeah.
And things like that. Just seems like it'd be so much easier to just get divorced and leave her than, like, join a cult and try to drive her and gaslight her.
Well, we don't even know how far Ivy's involvement is. You know what I mean? I think Ivy's involvement at the very least, it got Winter in the front door.
Mm-hmm.
I think that clearly that's how Winter came to be their nanny.
But Ivy lied to Allie about it. Like, they put an ad on Craigslist or in the paper or something like that find someone. Ivy did not let on that she knew Winter when she came for the interview.
Well, but that's my point. Well, what do you say? Hey, I tortured some big fat redneck guy with this girl how do you bring that up in conversation? You know what I mean?
Yeah, although we met at a rally is something she could say, but you're right. We don't really know how far Ivy's involved. We know she met Winter and knew her already, and we know that she locked, they pulled this, okay, it's worse than a prank, but, they locked this guy up as sort of a little protest to prevent him from voting for Trump or whatever. But, we don't know if Ivy knows how far Ivy is into the cult, if she is at all.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, we'll see. I mean, one thing that has stuck with me since the previous episode, which I felt like this episode is kind of like a theme for the entire cult. When last week we saw Kai playing the pinky game with, I think it was with Meadow, and Meadow was lamenting her life. And Kai says to her, get mad, get angry, do this or that. He says, from now on, it's someone else's fault. And I can paraphrase him there, but I don't know if you remember that. He says to her, all these things that are wrong in your life are someone else's fault. Which I think is again, Ryan Murphy's indictment of, society today and a certain number of voters who want to blame someone else for their problems. And that's what he's, all of Harrison's problems at the gym, you don't have to be humiliated like that. You can just quit, right? Like, this idea that it's always someone else's fault. Is what I really saw that in this next episode with Kai, manipulating all these people and bringing them under his thrall.
Yeah.
I think that's going to sort of be a theme there. So, I don't know. I guess there's a way in which this is maybe the scariest season of all. And yet it's not. And yet some of this, over-the-top Ryan Murphy craziness, doesn't work as well if there's no, supernatural element. Although, Asylum was, the most supernatural and kind of the least supernatural at the same time. Asylum had, Nazis and monsters and aliens and stuff. But at its core, it was just about this really abusive environment and this really, horrible, mean person.
The funny thing is other seasons had their supernatural element, but I don't know that I would ever call any of them over the top. They were confined to the structure of what they were about, so there was really nothing over the top per se, whereas this, which is supposed to be based in reality, is, I think, why we feel it's so over-the-top ridiculous.
So I get what you're saying. Coven was in a lot of ways really over-the-top, except it's not over-the-top for witches to behave like that, right? They're all witches,
exactly.
So it's not over-the-top for a witch.
Exactly.
But in this, these are all normal humans, so over-the-top. It's a little... extreme at every turn. So I don't know. You know, after last week, I was really I wasn't sure I really wanted to stick with it. I have occasionally watched some seasons and I've abandoned some seasons and I wasn't sure I wanted to stay with this, but mm-hmm. after this week's episode, this whole prequel-y kind of this flashback episode, I kind of really liked it and feel a little more engaged again.
I agree. After the third episode, I was kind of like, ugh. I was like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. And then, you said, you know, with the prequel episode, this past one, I was kind of like, all right, let's kind of, you know, getting the man behind the curtain here, getting a little more information. So
mm-hmm.
we'll see where it goes. I mean, you know, these are 13 episode seasons, so it's never like a huge investment, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
And episode five, I think, is on right now, right? So we're almost halfway through the season already. Just ended, yeah.
Yep.
So we'll see. So, all right. So we only have one other show, huh?
We both watched the series
premiere of The Gifted.
Yes.
So, which I knew was set in the X-Men universe. I didn't watch, so two Marvel shows premiered this week. I didn't watch Inhumans. I don't know if you watched it. I did not watch it. All of the critics say that show is terrible and The Gifted is much better. I thought it was...
Inhumans hasn't been on yet.
Oh, then you know what? Then it's critics who have seen an advance copy who are saying it's terrible.
The critics have seen it yet. Well, because the first
I thought it premiered this week.
Premiered
I thought it was
in
on
the IMAX.
Week.
It premiered... Well, it is on this week, but it premiered in the IMAX.
Oh, okay.
Last week it premiered in the IMAX, and it's on TV
this
week. And yeah, I've heard, I've read the reviews and everything, and I'm going to make my own assessment as usual, you know. There was also, there was something they compared it to that the critics said something else was awful, and it's like the number one rated show on TV now, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't really.
We take critics with a grain of salt.
Yeah, we do. I think this was, like, kind of an average premiere. I thought it was a little bit – I feel like this maybe is the X-Men show that you watch with your family, and Legion is the X-Men show that you watch, like, you know, without the kids or something. I thought this was a little – I was very disappointed that Amy Acker's character just seemed to be such a blah mom, like, basically, like – just in there because they have to have a mom, and I hope that she will maybe get some more meat to her part in the future because she's really, I mean, she's the reason. To me, she would be the person in the cast that I'm most interested in. Although the guy who glows, the glowing guy, who I'm sure you know his X-Men name, is played by, I think his name is Sean Teal, who was the lead in Incorporated. Which were in one season and got canceled on FX, right? Did you recognize him?
I didn't watch Incorporated.
Oh, he was leading Incorporated.
It's actually funny to say that about Amy Acker's character, because when Jamie did her interview with her, I sent her some questions, and one of the questions was, is your character just a mom, or is she a kick-ass mom? Because all your other characters have always been kick-ass in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know what the answer was, but...
All right, we'll see when Jamie posts that. But, I mean, so... I don't know, I found it to be a little bit... you know, it's well-reviewed by most critics. I found it to be a little bit... Maybe it's just a little bit light for my taste, and I prefer my supernatural stories a little bit, I don't know. I also felt a little bit, they packed a lot into this premiere, right? There was a whole lot of, like, backstory and background, and, oh, turns out the sister is also a mutant, and, like, all this kind of stuff goes in there. There's tons of content there, which I guess they did an okay job with. What did you think?
You're right. There was a lot to begin with. They did pack a lot in one shot. But you know, I'm giving it a chance because it's a premiere, and we all know premieres tend to jam a bunch of shit into a you know 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag. We know this. So I liked what I saw. As far as the only X-Men I could identify, in this storyline, the X-Men have disappeared, and this ragtag band of mutants, this underground mutant organization, apparently formed after the X-Men disappeared because the X-Men disappeared. So this is clearly somewhere, it's in the X universe, but it's somewhere in the future of that universe.
Right, because as of today, that has never been a story in the Marvel comics, right? Is what you're saying? It's never been a story that the X-Men.
This is a all new, fresh. I mean, I could see what they might possibly be pulling it from, but it's all new. So far, the only X-Men, mutant that I'm familiar with that has been introduced so far. Is Polaris, Lorna Dane, the one that they caught and locked up. She's the only one I'm familiar with. And clearly, as they've done with this X universe, they've completely just obliterated any backstory and history from the comics and just they do their own damn thing. So.
Right, and I know what her backstory is in the comics, and we don't want to mention it here, I think.
Okay.
Right?
No,
that would be a spoiler if it were to come in.
I mean, it's funny because when the episode premiered, I was like, I'm watching and I'm looking and I'm like, who, you know, and then I saw her use her powers and I was like, it's Polaris! But I was a little upset because she has green hair in the comics and they didn't give her green hair on the show.
They have names that I read online, but I'm not sure if they're really from. I think the girl who can open a portal, I think her name is Blink. They have names, but I'm not sure if they're just names they were given on the show or if they're like real X-Men names.
No, Blink, yes. Blink. Blink is from the is from the comics. I forgot. Yeah, I totally forgot that. I knew who she was. I knew who she was not because of her power, because a couple mutants have similar powers. I was kind of watching the episode going, who the heck is she? I was like, and then I saw her eyes, and that's when I was like, oh, it's Blink.
Well, because she has those green eyes.
I haven't looked online to see if they've divulged anything. I have a theory on who the other two are, John, who is the tracker that can kind of see things. I think I know who he might be, possibly, and the guy with the light coming out of his hand. I think I know he might possibly be, but like I said, I haven't really gone online to look, so I don't know.
Right. I think they might have their names in. Now I'm just pulling up IMDb really quickly here to see if their names are in there, and let's see, are there X-Men names in here? This IMDb app is not All Cast and Crew. Hang on. Yeah, Polaris, Dr. Vaughn. Their names are, here's guy's name, it's just Mutant. Tex doesn't have a name, Christian. You know what? I'm wasting my time looking these guys up because they're not all in here except for Tex. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's just premiered Monday, so I'm not surprised that IMDb is not up to date.
What? Something's not right in IMDb? Are you kidding me? Yeah.
ultimately, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And, you know, part of the reason this is diverging, I mean, you know, it's well documented, this whole spat between Marvel and Disney and Fox. And that, you know, Marvel sold off the rights to so many of their characters to Fox before they launched their own production studio and got bought by Disney. and they don't get along. And this is kind of actually a rare collaboration, but they just don't own so many of the characters. So that's why they write that the X-Men have gone. So they don't have to, like, you know, they don't have to, like, dance around, like, why they're not in here or whatever.
I just went to the wiki, actually.
Okay.
And I was right on both of them. So Marcos, his mutant name is Eclipse. And
Right. I read that.
And John is a Native American. His name is John Proudstar. And his name is Thunderbird, which is who I thought they were.
Right. No, he's not the main. He's the Proudstar brother. There's two Proudstars in the X-Men, and he's not the main one. He's the second one, I think, right?
No, the other. Yeah. Yes, he is.
The other one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the other.
At any rate.
Kappa, I can't think of his brother's name, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So. It looks like perhaps the father, whose name I forget, Stephen Moyer's character, who, you know, he's this
Reed.
Prosecutor.
The character's name is Reed.
Reed. He quickly, within about 1 minute, his character's converted to, like, going against the government when it turns out to be his own kids. You know, it's a shame that they have to rush stuff so much into Pilot, because that's sort of a very interesting, like, character, you know. Like, he's very quickly converted. It reminds me a little bit, like, it's done in a much more complex fashion on a show like Colony, where the character's transformation is really the point of the show. And the way in which Josh Holloway's character, who was in law enforcement, has to, like, you know, continue working in law enforcement, but sort of changes, you know, like, the...
Right.
Whatever. I don't need to explain that show to you. You get it. On Colony, that's sort of one of the points of the show. Whereas in The Gifted, it appears to maybe be like incidental to the, you know, it's not the point of the show. I mean, it's going to be like a main thing, a main storyline, I guess, as he uses his inside knowledge to help them or whatever. But it's not like character transformation is not what the show is about. But it's kind of interesting that he gets trapped at the end. The family goes through the portal to like a safe place, and it looks like he's going to be like arrested and taken in or whatever.
And
urged to turn them in, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Burn Notice?
I only watched a little bit of the first season of Burn Notice. I didn't watch very much of it.
Okay. Cause, God, I don't know. Personal unit guy, the one that came to the house, was like, "Hey, we need to take your kids."
Oh, the guy's like, "I'm from the Sentinel
Old
Services, and I want your kids." Yeah.
Yeah.
The black
guy.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the character's name is, but that's Kobe Bell, and he was on Burn Notice.
Oh, okay. He looked vaguely familiar to me, but I didn't really know who he was.
He's been in some other stuff too, but that's what I really know him from.
At the end of the episode where those like spider robot things were chasing everyone, they were very cool. That was like one of the best special effects in this episode, which by the way was directed by Bryan Singer, who directed the X-Men movies. I thought those were pretty cool and really well done.
Bryan Singer's great as a director. You just can't let him do anything else.
Right.
You can't let him play through the writing or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
No storyline for Bryan Singer.
Yeah. I thought those were cool, and those things reminded me a little bit of the Sentinels in The Matrix, when the Sentinels come down on the ship and start tearing it up, and they also look like big mechanical spider kind of things.
They kind of reminded me of, and I'm drawing a blank on them at the moment, but from Star Wars, one of the droids that come, and they have the force shield, and
mm-hmm.
they're kind of spider-like looking, and I'm drawing a blank on what they call them on Star Wars right now, but yeah, that's what they reminded me of.
I don't know. So. Yeah. So I guess they're a common thing. But those were pretty cool. And I guess they're, not so scary now that we know that, the kid can blow them up. So at the end, when the kid, whose name I think is Andy, manages to control his power a little bit and smash them. I mean, I do think it's kind of interesting that they have this kid who can't, control his power yet. It's just coming into his power. They seem to maybe be accelerating that a bit. That's the storyline that we saw. And what's that show about the Tomorrow People? Was a lot about young people coming into their powers and controlling them.
I got to say, I had a very strong Tomorrow People vibe throughout this entire episode, especially once they got to the underground.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that show was almost entirely about this underground movement and people, working a rebellion, working for acceptance of their kind and stuff like that. I got that vibe also. And we saw that, I hope that they will take, we also saw it a little bit on a show like Heroes where, as Heroes really opens, Claire is trying to learn how to, about her power and she's afraid to tell anyone. I mean, these are not original stories, so particularly the idea of, it's a well-worn young adult trope of a young person who finds out that they're special and only they can save the world kind of thing. Right.
And did you see Stan Lee's cameo?
Yes, coming out of the mutant bar.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a long close-up on him, too.
In the TV shows, he kind of has quick ones, but in the movies now, his cameos have actually had some substance. Like Deadpool, he was on screen for 3 minutes. He played. You saw Deadpool, right? Or no?
Yeah, I saw Deadpool.
DJ
yeah,
in the strip club.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, in the movies he gets to speak sometimes. So great to see him. I think it was pretty. I mean, I thought Lorna's pregnancy maybe is a big reveal to happen in the pilot. Although I don't know how many episodes. This is probably 10 episode or 13 episodes tops, right? So. Things move fast on these new shorter seasons. I guess on a 22-episode season, maybe. I mean, I don't know where they're going with it. So I do feel like when poor Marcos, when he says, "How's the baby? It's my kid. I have to know." I was like, oh, no, it's not going to be his kid. Like, as soon as a character says that, I'm the father, I'm feeling like, oh, are you really the father? You poor thing. You're so sure that you're the father. So I wonder.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't, just because they seem to have a pretty good relationship, right off the bat from what we've been given.
Yeah, I guess I just watch so much TV that I just, expect the poor thing to be disappointed. He's the father and she hasn't told him, although she's probably very newly pregnant. She's certainly not showing or whatever.
I don't think she knew, because she seemed a little surprised when he showed her. You didn't think that was her surprise that she was like.
No,
when he showed her, and she kind of freaked out.
when he showed her the paper and she, I immediately assumed, oh, she has a child that he's threatening. Like I immediately figured he was threatening her child. I didn't realize it would be her unborn child until later in the episode, right? So I didn't take it as her, I took it as anger more than surprise, but I could have, I could have just looked away and misread it. So I guess we'll see.
That's just how I took it. I mean,
yeah, that's possible also. So I guess I'd like to see Amy Acker get a little bit meatier role here. Other than Mom on the Run. And I'd like to see, where they're going, how they're going to nuance this storyline that is just about big government bad, the X-Men has always had these overtones of racism, I mean, they were very overt in that one movie. What was the one, like the third X-Men movie where they were like in all-out war against the government or whatever. But, you know, the X-Men has always had this, the X-Men's always had this sort of, like, thing about racism and persecution of, you know, I mean, Magneto, I think, articulates it, Magneto and Charles Xavier are on opposite sides of, like, how you handle that kind of thing. So I guess, clearly that's going to be a theme throughout it, but I'm sure they'll move into a more nuanced storyline than just like the government is persecuting these people and they're on the run. There'll be more to it. So, I mean, I'll watch it again. I thought it was okay. It's no Legion. Like, if I had to choose my X-Men story, I mean, Legion is like at a completely different plane than this show.
Yeah.
But it's
really
interesting that
when Legion first came out, I was like, because I really didn't care for the story in the comics, and I'm loving the show.
Yeah. And, you know, they're both Fox properties. Like, one is on FX, which, granted, is, a little bit more the prestige channel, I feel, of the Fox networks. And the one, you know, the regular Fox is they have a different viewership, so I get why they take different approaches. If I could only watch one for me, I'd take Legion. But this is not, this is worth giving it another week, I think. Or two, and see where it goes, and if I start to get hooked on it or not.
No, so, I agree.
Yeah, did you watch it with Artie?
Yeah.
Do you think it's in that? Like, did it appeal to him? Also, can you watch it as a family?
Yeah,
or?
He liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll continue to watch it. He liked it, so.
Well, he's what, 10 now, so he's getting like. You can watch more and more stuff.
Yeah, he'll be.
He gets a little
older. He watched Legion. He watched. I don't know if you remember, but he watched Legion with me.
And he liked Legion, huh?
Yeah, he loved Legion. He actually just because it's the full, the fall season. He's like, when did Legion come back?
Oh wow, he's got good taste. He's a precocious TV watcher.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just watch it next week. So before we, are we finished with the show? Are we almost ready to wrap it here?
Yeah, I think it's a wrapping.
So before we hang up, I just wanted to tell you that I just watched the premiere of Ghosted.
Ghosted. Oh, yeah, I heard you saying that before.
It's a 30-minute comedy, sort of a spoof of the X-Files or X-Files Fringe-type shows, right? It's a little bit of a – the pilot was a little bit of a mess, jam-packed with a lot of stuff. So it's about – it's really a buddy comedy. It's about these two mismatched partners. Like, one is like – you know how there have been, like, 10 million movies about the hard-boiled cop matched with the, like – say maybe an actor or a goofball sidekick that is not in law enforcement. So this is a former LAPD cop who got busted and worked security in a mall, and he gets paired up with his partner as a disgraced, like, genius MIT scientist. And Ali Larter, who is the head of an underground, like, government – actually, they're actually called the Bureau Underground – hires them to, like – work on this paranormal case, which I can't even begin to describe to you because it's just like one flaw in this episode. I feel like was they were just putting way too much detail that was unnecessary. Like, it's a spoof. I think there are people who like spoof shows that would really enjoy this. I think the two actors are really good. One is they're two guys from Hot Tub Time Machine, Craig Robinson, and the guy from Parks and Rec. Who also was, if you saw Party Down, he was the star of Party Down. His name is Adam something, and he played Ben on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Adam Smart, Adam Rich, Adam, oh, I forget his name. How horrible. They're both really good, really experienced actors, right? I loved Adam Smart. I loved him in Party Down. He was in Burning Love. He's done all those, like, you know, web comedies. Craig Robinson actually is even kind of better, I think, in this. And so they're both good actors and they're kind of good together, but I felt like for 23 minutes of airtime. Like, I didn't really, like, I don't really care about the details of the paranormal case because it's just a comedy, right? Like, it doesn't need to make sense to me the way, like, a legit sci-fi show needs to make sense to me.
Right.
So I think it's a show that you could turn on if you had nothing else to do and, like, let it run. And it might have some potential if they stopped trying to have a real sci-fi case and just go ahead and be silly.
Right.
I don't like comedies. I don't like comedies, and it didn't, like, offend me at all. Like, most comedies, I think I'm offended by how dumb they are or by, like, bathroom humor or by, you know. And I was never once offended, so it has that going for it.
There you go.
So, yeah. So we'll see where they go with it. I might give it another. I probably am not going to get hooked on a comedy, but you can bang it out in 23 minutes, so... you know, I might watch it again next week and tell you guys what I think. Jamie wants to watch it because she, because it has been compared to the X-Files, but I think she will clearly see that there's no X-Files. For starters, no one's a skeptic. Everyone on the show is a believer. There's no skeptic, really. Well, I mean, the cop is kind of a skeptic, but he's kind of not. It's not like he's really a skeptic. It's just like every paranormal thing he happens to not see it happen. But anyway,
well, maybe
that was my mini.
You know, it's actually funny.
Yeah.
So far this fall season, you know, it's funny. It's upon us, and I'm like, I feel like we still don't have anything on our podcast to really talk about. And
no,
they're on two new shows for me this year, The Gifted and the Inhumans. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that has piqued my curiosity.
No, you know, and many of the large outlets, the big critics out there writing for, like, Hollywood Reporter and the Washington Post and kind of all the big, you know, Vulture and all them, like, uniformly are saying that there's just really nothing on this fall season. There's nothing really good coming in this fall season. There's not a lot of shows, and there's not a lot of stuff that's, you know, I think The Mayor is supposed to be one of the best shows coming on, but the best comedy for sure. So, yeah, pick up if you need. I mean, it's going to leave room in your schedule for something like Ghosted, maybe, or a, you know, a Netflix show or something like that. So we'll see. So I guess we'll have another short week next week, probably. Jamie will be back, and we have just you know, if Jamie was here, we would have talked about Fear the Walking Dead. Which we haven't covered for 2 weeks now. You know, I thought it was actually, you saw the text, I thought it was actually pretty good, and I'm liking it better than, the story arc right now on Fear the Walking Dead is a lack of water and a conflict over water resources, which I find actually a much more compelling and believable storyline than just the maniac of the season on regular Walking Dead. Like, I find it much more believable than like, people who live in a junkyard who have no motivation, right? Like, fighting over water, I think that's really good. Wars are going to be fought over water in the next century. So, I think Fear has been pretty decent. So, I look forward to Jamie and I not reviewing 3 episodes next week, but getting ourselves back on track with it, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, each week I do hear you saying that you feel that it's the better of The Walking Dead. So...
Yes, which I did not feel a year ago when we all thought Fear was, like, so slow and awful. And I think it's the better show now. It has flaws, but there's just nobody as ridiculous
not
as me.
Not flawed enough that you'll stop watching it.
I'm just so invested in it now. I just have to keep watching it. But Fear's the better show right now, for sure.
All right. Well.
So we'll get that back on next week also. So, all right.
All right.
I guess with that, we have nothing else to nothing until next week. And I'll be out of town, so I won't get to see Blade Runner this weekend, but I think all three of us, I don't know, I do intend to see it as soon as possible.
Can't wait to see that.
Maybe we can talk about that.
It was actually funny because during Gifted when we were watching it, there was an extended preview of Blade Runner. And
yep.
I'm sitting there watching it because I cannot wait to see Blade Runner. And Artie goes, "What's that?"
Oh, yeah.
And I said, that's Blade, the sequel to Blade Runner. And he goes, Harrison Ford's in it. And I was like, yes, he is. And he goes,
yep.
Why is Harrison Ford in it? He goes, I didn't think he did much anymore. And I was like, well, he had to be in it because he was in the original.
Right.
And
he brought back his.
He's like, he goes, can I see it? I was like, well, we have to watch the first
no.
one.
Yes, I think I'm really excited also. This is a movie that did not need to be made. It was an almost perfect movie, the first one. I have not, for 25 years, been wondering what happened. It didn't need to be made, and yet I also can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get that scheduled for the next week or two. We can all talk about it. Or you and I don't think that it's a Jamie. I don't know if Jamie intends to see it, but anyway,
we
can look forward to that this fall.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know if she's it. Remember, Jamie just saw Star Wars for the first time like a year ago, so.
this is true.
I don't know if she's seen Blade Runner, but. All right, so another week down.
Yeah, Blade Runner is one of those movies, even though it's not classically referred to as old, Jamie would think that was like an old movie.
She would, yeah. It's what, 25, 35 years old? I mean.
At least 20, at least 25.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, yeah. I look forward to that. I'll catch it as soon as I get back next week.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
So, all right. Okay.
All right.
Well, I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for another great podcast. All right. You going to wrap kick us
week,
out?
Until next time, I don't feel like it's tonight. I have no energy. I've been tired all day.
All right.
Until next
Thanks,
week,
everyone,
folks.
For listening.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. I can't get to the thing because Blog Talk Radio has some stupid drop-down thing in the way. Good night.